भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय टुगेदर वी कैन डिसाइड नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः We are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 27, entitled Indra and Surbhi Offer Prayers. Text 16, can repeat behind me. Maam Aishwarya Shrimadandho Dandapanim Napashyati Tam Brahmashyami Sampadbyo यस्या चैच्छामनुग्रहम् मामेश्वर्या श्रीमदन्धो दण्डपाणिं न पश्यति तं भ्रमश्यामि सम्पद्भ्यो यस्या चैच्छामनुग्रहम् श्रीमदन्धोणिं न पश्यति तं भ्रमश्यामि सम्पद्भ्यो यस्य च इच्छामनुग्रहम् मातजीस् Mom, me, Aishwarya, of his power, Shri, and opulence, Mad, by the intoxication, Andaha, rendered blind, Danda, with the rod of punishment, Panim, in my hand, Na Pashyati, one does not see, Tam, him, Brahmashyami, I make fall, Sampadbhya, from his material assets, Yasya, for whom, Cha, and Ichhami, I desire, Anugraham, benefit. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, a man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Purport. One may argue God does desire everyone's real welfare. Therefore, why should Lord Krishna state in this verse that he removes the intoxicating influence of one who is about to receive his mercy, rather than simply stating that he will remove everyone's opulences and bless everyone? On the other hand, we may point out that irrevocable death occurs for everyone, and thus Lord Krishna does take away everyone's opulences and everyone's false pride. However, if we apply the Lord's statement to events within one's immediate life before death, we may refer to Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva bhajamyaham. As people surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. Lord Krishna desires everyone's welfare, but when he says, Yasya cha icha anugraham, for one whose welfare I desire, it is understood that the Lord refers to those who by their own activities and thoughts have manifested a desire to achieve spiritual benefit. Lord Krishna wants everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, but when he sees that a specific person also desires spiritual happiness, the Lord specially desires it for that person. This is a natural act of reciprocation consistent with the Lord's statement, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu. I am equal in my attitude to all living beings. Om Ajnanat Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Melitam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakham Vitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Vipashindu Vaevacha Yanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Radha Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadesha Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo 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 Hare Hare I read the translation once again. So this verse is spoken by Lord Krishna to Indra. A man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. So, I seek the blessing of all the assembled devotees so that I may say something beneficial, inspiring and purifying for my own self. So, Lord Krishna is speaking this verse to Indra. We know the pastime that how Krishna removed the intoxication which was born of Shri Madandho, as the word says here, Ma Mam Aishwarya Shri Madandho Dandapanim Napashyati. So the intoxication which was produced by Shri or opulence, Nindra, Lord Krishna removed that. And Indra and then wanted to apologize, offered prayers. He begged Surbhi to accompany him. And after Surbhi has offered prayers, our Lord is speaking this verse. People who are intoxicated with excessive riches, they cannot, they have almost become blind. Lord is saying, Aishwarya Shri Madandho, and the Mam, the word, it applies to Mam Dandapanim Napashyati, that they cannot see me, Napashyati, that they are so intoxicated that they have almost become blind because of intoxication. So they cannot see that they will be soon punished. A similar verse appears in the pastime of deliverance of Nalkuver and Manigreev, when Srila Narad Muni says that Nahe Anya Jushuto Joshyan Buddhi Brahmasho Rajo Guna Shri Madad Abhijatyadir Yatra Stri Dutam Ashava. So here also the word Shri Madan, the intoxication due to influence, due to the excessive opulence, leads to Buddhi Brahmasho. You see here, Tam Brahmasyami. Here the Lord says, I destroy their opulences. Here this refers to that one's person intelligent is destroyed when a person has excessive material opulences. And this verse specifically says, there are four kind of material opulences as Kunti Maharani has expressed. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shribhir. Janma means high birth, Aishwarya means opulence, Shruta means high learning, and Shribhir means personal beauty. So this verse says, Nahe Anyo Jushuto Joshyan Buddhi Brahmasho Rujaguna. The intoxication produced by excessive opulences is much more than it is produced by any of the other opulences. I'll read the translation. Among the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taking birth in an aristocratic family and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up with wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women and gambling. So just like it is said that it is more difficult to tolerate honor, being honored, than being insulted. When someone is insulted, it's really difficult, it's painful. But when someone is honored a lot, he may actually become very proud. So it is even more difficult to tolerate being honored than being insulted. Similarly, it is more difficult to tolerate wealth than poverty. You know, poverty is again a source of a lot of miseries. But wealth may bring about even further disaster in one's life. It's more difficult to tolerate wealth than poverty. Because as soon as one attains a lot of wealth, a person wants to engage that wealth in enjoying women and wine. So we see that all the websites, they start with www. That when there is wealth, there is enjoyment of women and wine. So all the websites, they are actually facilitating the enjoyment of wealth, women and wine. So, herein the Lord is saying that these people who become so intoxicated that they become blind, they become mad, and they cannot see me, that I am approaching everyone in the form of time to punish them. One of the names of Lord Krishna used in Srimad Bhagavatam is Kal Chakra Ayudha. Ayudha means the wielder. We know Lord is Chakrapani, the wielder of Sudarshan Chakra. Now the name of Lord Balram is Hal Ayudha. Hal Ayudha, one who is the wielder of plow weapon. So one of the names of Krishna is Kal Chakra Ayudha. One who is wielder of this time weapon, Kala Chakra, the disc of time. So, in English connotation, usually time refers to measure of hours, days, weeks, year. But actually time, in the Vedic scriptures, time has a much deeper significance, Kal. So, everything, so it's described that Kal should be understood as the energy which is bringing about everything, which is bringing about the movements in this world. So, all the things are being moved in this world by the time factor. And those, as everything is moving in this world by the time factor, by the will of the Lord. So there is a master plan of the Lord for this world. And Kal Chakra, or the movement of the time, actually rolls on that plan of the Lord. And this, the energy of the Lord, or this movement of Kal, cannot be reversed by anybody. It's very strong. It is at one place described as the inexplicable will of the Lord, the time. It's the will of the Lord, it's the plan of the Lord. So the time reveals the plan of the Lord. Time moves everything in this world as per the desire of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And everyone's reactions to one's activities is also brought about by the time factor. So the time also in one sense is a destiny. Because one's destiny is revealed by the time. Right? Just like we know that how when the demigod lost their kingdom, they said that now the time is favoring the demons. Right? According to the plan of the Lord, the demons had worshipped their spiritual master while the demigods had offended. Right? So we are destined to suffer while the demons are prospering. It's the fact of the time. This has been brought by the time. So we have to wait till the time favors us. I mean, we now perform service to the Lord, we perform good activities, we worship our spiritual master, we apologize, and then in due course the time will favor us. So, all the living entities they receive the punishment for their activities, which is brought about by the Kal, by the Kala Chakra, by the time factor, which is very powerful. And this punishment which is brought about in this material world, practically all living entities they receive punishment, right? Because this material world has been compared to a jail. Jail means where rebellious people are put. So in jail, the main function is to punish the prisoners. So one of the main things is punishment in this material world. The material nature, through the effect of time, in due course of time, it punishes all the living entities. But this punishment given by the Supreme Lord is actually not His cruelty. The punishment that the Supreme Lord awards has been compared to His mercy. We know that Krishna's mercy, it comes in various forms in our life. Sometimes it is palatable and sometimes not. Prasadam is one form of mercy, which is very palatable. But And on the other hand, punishment is an unpalatable mercy, but it is a mercy of the Lord. It is described that since Krishna is the absolute truth, there is no difference between these two kind of mercies. Both these mercies actually are meant for our purification. So Lord mercy purifies, whether it is prasad, sweet prasad, it purifies us, and whether it is punishment of the Lord. So there is no difference between the prasadam mercy or the punishment mercy of the Supreme Lord. So someone may say that you will probably discuss about prasadam mercy since being a kitchen person. But actually the context of the verse talks about the punishment mercy of the Lord. So I would like to discuss this form of mercy, punishment mercy of the Lord, in little detail. That the punishment of the Supreme Lord is actually His mercy has been very nicely pointed out by the wives of Kaliya, the Nagpatnis. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, he is writing this prayer of the Nagpatnis. O Lord, you have descended especially for the purpose of annihilating all kinds of disturbing elements within this world. And because you are the absolute truth, there is no difference between your mercy and your punishment. So, the Lord is actually merciful to all the living entities in general. But to His devotees and servants He is specially merciful. So we'll discuss these two aspects. The Lord punishes all the living entities in general, as the disciple of Prabhupada also pointed out in the purport, that in due course of time, Krishna removes everyone's opulences and intoxication. But He gives special mercy, special favor to those who are His devotees and servants. And that is His equality actually, samoham swarup bhuteshu, because as is pointed out in the purport, ye etham am prapadyante tam sudaiva bhajamyaham. So in this, as we discussed, that this material world is like a prison house, and so almost all the living entities in this material world, they are rebellious to the laws of Krishna. And just as all the prisoners are punished in the prison house according to the severity of their crime, so all the living entities in this material world, they are punished by the threefold miseries, which eventually leads to death. So this punishment of the Lord upon all the living entities is actually imposed through the agency of material nature. Just as there are the laws of the state, there are laws of material nature, and anyone who violates these laws is duly punished. But unlike the laws of the state, the laws of material nature, they are very precise and very subtle. No lawyer can actually turn around or twist them. In due course of time, everyone will have to reap the result of one's own activities. So this laws of material nature, where everyone receives one's due suffering, the suffering of one's own activities, is actually the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there was a t-shirt printed by IWF Pune, where they had expressed these laws of the nature in a nice rhyming fashion. Look before you leap, don't just do it. For as you sow, so shall you reap. So, as one performs activity, as one sows, one reaps the result of those activity in due course of time. So this arrangement of the Lord is actually His mercy upon all the living entities. How is this mercy? Because punishment given by the Supreme Lord, this is the indirect punishment we are discussing, through the agency of material nature, this punishment neutralizes one's offenses, saves a person from further degradation, and provides an opportunity for rectification. So there is a story which Bhagwan Singh Halwai, he likes to share. When we were at Govardhan, he was sharing one story with us. He said, this is 50 years back, 50 or even more actually, 60 years back, 1950s. When he was a boy, he was working in a grocery shop for 25 paisa salary. So he was working in a shop and he said that one he would bring his tiffin from his house, his roti sabji. One day he stole 1 rupee. You can imagine the value of 1 rupee. His salary was 25 paisa. He stole 1 rupee and he kept in the empty tiffin box. And he kept it aside. And then while going, I will take it back. So what happened, the owner didn't knew, but towards the end of the day, the owner was, he took out something from the shelf and the tiffin fell off. The tiffin fell off, the coin came out. And the owner was surprised that, and Bhagwan Singh, he was saying that Lala ne chori kar li hai. He said, this is very, very disturbed. And he called his father and he was saying, Lala ne chori kar li hai. Very sad, I mean very disturbed that he has done such an act. So his father, he didn't say anything, he just took him home. After he took him home, he closed the door of the room, took out his shoe and beat him left and right, front, back. So he gave him very severe beating. His whole body became red actually. And then the father left and he was just lying down. And in anger he left his home and went one place in Parikrama Marg and sat down. And he was just crying, looking at the sky. And his mother came to know that, oh, the son has left home. His mother came searching and she called him back. She patted him, consoled him, and took him back home. After he came home, he was just sleeping, lying down. He was saying that, I considered that why have I been punished so severely? Because I took the path of adharma. I committed the mistake. So I have been punished so severely. So he said, then I made a resolve that never in my life I will traverse the path of untruth. Never in my life I will commit or I will actually follow adharma. So he made a commitment that I will always live my life traversing the path of truth. And so he then concludes, he says, I have been to so many sweet shops throughout, I have worked. They all are chore, they all are thieves. Said they say ghee, but they use dalda. He said, throughout my life, I have never brought a tin of dalda in my sweet shop. We use only pure ghee. Right? So he said, because I took that decision after the punishment that we'll always traverse the path of truth. So all our sweets are made in pure desi ghee. Never we bring. So this is the secret of success of Giriraj Mishthan Bhandar, which Maharaj called as the most popular holy place of pilgrimage in Braj. He fondly tells a story to so many people actually. He told myself and Radhudhi Prabhu also. Actually, he received a very harsh punishment. Such a punishment cannot be given in this time and age. It will actually lead to some opposite result only. But whenever the Supreme Lord punishes, so the actually principle behind punishment is that it should actually elevate a person. The punishment given should actually elevate him. So the punishment which is given by the Supreme Lord is actually His mercy, for it neutralizes one's offenses, it saves a person from further degradation and provides an opportunity for rectification. So in this way, all the living entity in this world, they receive the punishment, which is synonymous with the mercy of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. However, the second part of this verse, tam brahmasyami sampadyo yasya cha ichhami anugraham. You see the second part of the verse. Lord says, if I desire someone's real welfare, then I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. So, this is when the Lord personally arranges punishment for his servants or devotees. They are more fortunate because although the Lord is equal to both, as being pointed out in the Purport, Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu, but as people, different people approach the Lord reciprocates. So those who want to serve Him, advance in spiritual life, the Lord helps them. It's reciprocation. So He arranges a punishment whenever required, so that a person's intoxication, pride, or whatever anartha may have manifested is removed, and a person can then progress on the path of spiritual life. So, although all the living entities are punished, as I said, in general by the weapon of Kala Chakra, right? Kala Chakra. But fortunate then, these living entities are the demons who are punished by the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord. Because they are personally punished by the Lord, they are liberated, they achieve mukti. So although the mukti has been condemned from the viewpoint of personal service to the Lord, but still it's considered one of the goal of human form of life in the Vedas. Right? Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And millions of yogis who undergo severe austerities, they bring their mind and senses under their control, become free from the dualities of life. They aspire for this ultimate goal of mukti, which Krishna gives simply by killing them. There is a nice conversation between Srila Prabhupada and his disciple Bhagavat. I'll just read that translation, which explains that these demons are actually special. Bhagavat, those demons who are killed by Krishna, are they devotees? Obviously Kaliya is. Just like Jay and Vijay, they were devotees. And due to some offense, then they became demons. And they fought with Krishna to satisfy Krishna. Prabhupada. Anyone who is living in this material world is a demon. Bhagavat. But only certain demons get to fight with Krishna. Prabhupada. Yes, that is special demon. Bhagavat. So those special demons, are they all like Jay and Vijay? Are they all in that position? Prabhupada, no, not necessarily. Bhagavat, but to get to fight with Krishna, they must have performed many pious activities. Prabhupada, yes. Bhagavat, like Kaliya. So then if they have performed so many pious activities, then obviously they must have done something very mischievous in order to take this demon's body. There is some fall down? He is asking Prabhupada, yes. Without some mischievous activities, there cannot be fall down. So in this way, Prabhupada here approves that these demons actually have performed pious activities, austerity in their previous birth. So they are fortunate enough to be personally killed by Krishna. Again, there is a beautiful quote by Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur. He quotes Sridhar Swami, who says, "Do not suspect that the Lord is cruel because He annihilates the miscreants. As a mother's fondling and chastisement of her children are not displays of cruelty, but exhibitions of her affection, it should be understood that the killing of demons and protection of devotees are similar exhibitions of the mercy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is maintainer of both pious and sinful persons." So that these demons are also actually recipients of Krishna's special mercy, just like the devotees are mentioned. It should be understood that the killing of demons and protection of devotees are similar exhibitions of the mercy of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, who is maintainer of both pious and sinful persons. So in this way, these demons who are killed by Krishna, they are actually higher recipient of mercy, Krishna's mercy, than those who are punished indirectly by the material nature. And the next higher level of mercy punishment is given to those demons who or miscreants who are related to the devotees. You see, the Krishna doesn't kill those demons, but he kills their sinful mentality and then gives them a chance to render devotional service. The example of Kaliya is a very classic example in this regard. Krishna, he didn't kill the Kaliya, but he killed his sinful mentality and gave his mercy to him, which even amazes the devotees. So the Nagpatnis, they express their amazement. This is that famous beautiful verse. Kasyanubhavasya nadeva vidmahe tavangrirenu swarashadhikara yadvanchaya shrir lalana charattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhrita vrata. Saying kasya anubhav. What has he performed? Kasya anubhav, anubhav. Kasya anubhavo. Anubhava means the result. So what kind of activities he has performed that he has received such a result? Now deva vidmehe, we cannot simply understand. Tav angri renu sparashadikara. So the wives of Kaliya are saying, it is so difficult to attain a particle of dust from Krishna's lotus feet. And it is even more rare, extremely, extremely difficult to get the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. But this Kaliya has received something even higher. You dance on his hoods. So many times, multiple times he received the touch on all his thousand hoods. So thousand hoods, so Krishna had to subdue thousand hoods. So at least once he stepped on each hood to remove the poison. So at least thousand times he received the touch of Krishna's lotus feet. So his thousand hoods became kind of benediction. Thousand times the touch of Krishna's lotus feet Kaliya received. So the wives are saying, we are amazed. What kind of mercy you have shown to this Kaliya? This kind of mercy has never been shown even to the goddess of fortune. Yad vanchaya shri lanacharattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhitavrata. She actually performed austerities towards this end to attain the dust of lotus feet of the Lord in his form of cowherd boy. Of course, goddess of fortune, she massaged the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. But she desired to obtain the dust of lotus feet of Krishna as Gopal. But she could not. And the wives of Kaliya saying, this Kaliya, he has received the mercy even greater than God of the fortune. We simply cannot understand. So this mercy is actually the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. But one important factor of Kaliya receiving the mercy of the Supreme Lord is that he is connected with his wives. The wives themselves are one of the causes of Kaliya's good fortune. So anyone who is connected with the devotee is actually very fortunate. When Srila Ramanand Rai, he comes back after leaving his job and he tells that how the king, he relieved me from all my responsibilities, he awarded all my salary as a pension, and he was very happy, and he said that you go and without any worries go and serve the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that, Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kahe tumi Krishna bhakta pradhan, toma keye priti kare sei bhagyavan. Lord said, you are a foremost devotee of Krishna, tumi Krishna bhakta pradhan. তোমাকে ইয়ে প্রীতি করে সেই ভাগ্যবান। এনি ওয়ান হু হ্যাজ অফেকশন ফর ইউ ইজ সার্টনলি ভেরি ফর্চুনেট। অ্যান্ড সিন্স দ্য কিং হ্যাজ ডেভেলপ অফেকশন ফর ইউ, ইট ইজ হিজ গ্রেট ফর্চুন। সো চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু সেজ, বিকজ দ্য কিং হ্যাজ ডেভেলপ দিস গ্রেট ফর্চুন, হি উইল অ্যাকচুয়ালি রিসিভ দ্য মার্সি অফ লর্ড জগন্নাথ ভেরি সুন। লর্ড কৃষ্ণা ইজ অবলাইজ টু অ্যাকসেপ্ট আ পার্সন হু ইজ ফেভার্ড বাই আ ডিভোটি, হু ইজ ইভেন কানেক্টেড টু আ ডিভোটি। সো ইফ সমহাউ অর আদার আ পার্সন ক্যান ডেভেলপ অ্যাফেকশন ফর দ্য ডিভোটিস অফ দ্য সুপ্রিম লর্ড, দেন হি বিকমস ভেরি ফর্চুনেট অ্যান্ড কৃষ্ণা অ্যাকসেপ্ট দ্যাট পার্সন। সো ইন ওয়ান সেন্স উই অল আর ভেরি ফর্চুনেট দ্যাট উই আর রিলেটেড টু শিলা প্রভুপাদ, বিকজ উই আর রিলেটেড টু প্রভুপাদ। সো ইউ হ্যাভ সিন দ্যাট সো মেনি ডিভোটিস দে হ্যাভ বিন অ্যাকসেপ্টেড বাই দ্য সুপ্রিম লর্ড বিকজ অফ দিস কানেকশন। Though they have sincerely followed the process of devotional service given by Prabhupada, though they have served him according to their capacity in the best way, Lord Krishna actually has accepted them. He has awarded the shelter to those devotees. So it's a great fortune to be connected to the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord. And this point is again very vividly explained in the pastime of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing mercy to Amogha. So I will just like to discuss this pastime briefly. When all the devotees from Bengal, they would come for the 4 months of Chaturmasya to meet Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, participate in Rath Yatra. After they all left, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he thought it's now a good opportunity to invite Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise it was very difficult, so many devotees would invite, so to get a slot was very difficult. So he said now is a good opportunity since all the devotees are returned. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited the Lord for prasadam at his place, and they both started cooking in the morning, and Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at the noon time. And there is an elaborate description of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife. They made a huge variety of prasadam in huge quantity. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing that, he says, "Alaukik ei sab anna vyanjan." He said, all these uncommon preparations, they are alaukik in their appearance, in their fragrance. And how could you cook so many preparations in just 6 hours' time? Dui prahar bhitre kaise haila randhan. How was it possible that you could cook everything in these 2 prahar? Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even if 100 people cook on 100 stoves, shat chulai shat jan pak yadi kare, tabu shigra et dravya randhite na pare. Still, in 6 hours' time, 100 people on 100 stove cannot make such a variety of feast, and you have made in, 2 of you have cooked this. It's amazing actually. So, and then Bhattacharya replies that the person who is going to honor this feast, only by his mercy, this has been possible. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, So Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that you are actually very fortunate that you have offered Krishna such a variety of prasadam, such a huge feast. And I'll be very fortunate to partake the remnants of it. Right? So Mahaprabhu said that please give me a little bit of a separate plate. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, this all has been arranged for you only. So please sit here. Right? And there was a sitting place for Krishna. So Mahaprabhu says, first of all, I cannot sit this asan which has been offered to Krishna for sitting. So Bhattacharya says, the prasad and this pitha, where the sitting place, both are the mercy of the Lord, they both are his prasad. you will accept one and not accept the other? Then Shridhara Mahaprabhu says, Prabhu kahe bhala kaile shastra agya hai, Krishna rasa kala sheta shesha bhritya ashvadai. Shridhara Mahaprabhu approves this proposition. He says, Prabhu kahe bhala kaile shastra agya hai. This is the injunction in the scripture, Krishna rasa kala shesha bhritya ashvadai. All the remnants of Krishna can actually be enjoyed by the devotees. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes a verse from the 11th canto which was spoken by Uddhava to Krishna. Tvayo pyukta sraga gandha vaso lankara charchita uchishta bhoji no dasa stava mayam jayemahi. Tvayo upyukta sraga gandha. What has been used by you, my lord? Sraga means the flower, gandha means the fragrant substances like sandalwood pulp, vaso, the clothes, alankar, ornaments, and prasadam, uchishta bhojino dasas. So by honoring all these remnants, tav mayam jayemhi, we can conquer over the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Just by honoring the remnants of the Supreme Lord in that consciousness, that this is the prasad of the Lord. So Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, but I cannot eat so much of prasadam, it's a huge quantity. Then Sarva Bhattacharya says, but in Jagannath Puri you eat 52 times, and each time the quantity is much, much more bigger. In Dwarka you eat in 16,000 palaces, and then there are 18 mothers. You eat in every place you eat. During Govardhan Puja, you ate mountains and mountains of prasadam. He said, compared to all that, this is not even a single morsel. He said, I am a small person. How much can I offer? Please accept this one morsel of prasadam. So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he laughed, and then he sat down to honor the prasadam. While, and Sarva Bhattacharya, he was standing at the door with a stick. He was expecting Amogha, who had a nature of fault finding. However, when he came to just serve prasadam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Amogha somehow sneaked in and he saw and he started criticizing the Lord. He said, so much prasadam, at least 10 to 12 people can easily honor this prasadam and be fully satisfied. And one person alone is eating. So he criticized the Lord. Sarva Bhattacharya looked back at Amogha, and Amogha, seeing his countenance, fled away. Sarva Bhattacharya ran behind him, his stick in his hand, wanting to beat him, but somehow he fled. And Sarva Bhattacharya could not get hands upon him. He came back while he was cursing him, saying ill names to Amogha. And hearing Sarva Bhattacharya speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed. He said, why are you criticizing him? He's a child after all. Sarva Bhattacharya was very repentant. He again and again begged forgiveness from the Lord. He said, Sarva Bhattacharya said, it has been a great offense on my part that I invited you at home and had you criticized, had you blasphemed. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there has been no blasphemy. What he said is actually the truth. This much prasad can actually be honored by 10 to 12 persons. Right? So, Mahaprabhu said, aparad nahe sahaja kahila. What he spoke is just the truth. There has been no offense. Just see how much positive the attitude of the Lord is. He did not took the offense. Although actually it was a very severe offense, Lord says, he just said the truth. There has been no offense. And just to console them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he honored all the Mahaprasad to the satisfaction of Sarva Bhattacharya and his wife. And then Sarva Bhattacharya offered him flower garland, sandalwood pulp. And again Sarva Bhattacharya was criticizing him, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consoled him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went back, and the very next day Amogha contracted cholera and he was dying of cholera. And Sarva Bhattacharya said, actually it has been good that the destiny is favoring. Right? What I wanted to do, the destiny has brought it about. Right? Even the wife of Sarva Bhattacharya, she was saying, let Sathi, his daughter, her daughter, become a widow. Again and again she was saying, let Amogha die. You see, actually their love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both of them they actually cut down their connection. They wish that let Amokha die for this offense. Although he is their son-in-law. So, Sarovar Dacharya now, he said, it's good actually that the destiny only is bringing about what I wanted to do. So, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes, Ayushriyam yasho dharmam lokanashisha evacha hanti shrayamsi sarvani pumso mahad patikrama. Ayushriya yasho dharmam lokanashisha evacha. One's duration of life, Shriya, one's opulences, Yasho, one's fame, one's religious principles, one's possessions, lokan, and whatever blessings one may have achieved, all is destroyed when one offends great souls. Hanti shreyamsi sarvani, everything that is auspicious for a person is actually destroyed when a person offends great souls, and especially the Supreme Lord. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was happy about that, and Gopinath Acharya goes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu asks him what is the news of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Gopinath Acharya informed that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and wife both are fasting and Amogha is dying of cholera. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately he rushes to Amogha and he places his hand on his chest and he said that your heart is meant to be resided by Lord Krishna. You are a Brahman. So why have you allowed this jealousy to actually enter your heart? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him that give up all your envious or fault-finding mentality and chant the names of Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being touched by Mahaprabhu, Amogha actually became purified. He became purified, he got relieved from his disease and he started chanting the names of Krishna. While he chanted the name of Krishna, all the ecstatic symptom appeared on his body. And he felt very repentant. He begged forgiveness from Mahaprabhu that with this mouth, I actually criticized you. He started slapping his face again and again. And his cheeks became swollen, it's described. And then Gobindacharya forbade him. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he tells that why are you fasting? After all, Amogha is just a child and he is your son. So you should give up anger towards him. You should, now he has become a Vaishnava, so you should bestow your mercy upon him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, please take bath, go and see Lord Jagannath and come back and honor Mahaprasad. And I will stay here until you honor Prasad of the Lord. Just see the Lord's affection. He says, you take bath, go to see Lord Jagannath, come back and take Prasad. Till then I will be just here only. I want to see personally that you have honored Prasada Lord, because they have been fasting for a few days. So, but however, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, he said, no, my Lord, please, you go and see Lord Jagannath, I'll take bath, I'll come later. Then he insists that the Lord doesn't wait for him. Then Lord tells Gopinath Acharya that you wait here on my behalf, and then later give me the news that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya actually has broken his fast. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells that Sarvabhauma grehe dasa dasi ye kukur sehe mora priya anya jana rahu dur. Mahaprabhu says that actually in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, a servant or a maid servant or even a dog is very dear to me. What to talk of other people who are related to him? Right? What to talk of his son-in-law? So this pastime is summarized in one beautiful verse by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Sarvabhauma grihe bhunjan sonindakam amogakam angi kurvan sphutam chakre gaura swam bhakta vashyatam. Although criticized by Amogha, still Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him. Angi kurvan sphutam chakre, just to demonstrate Gaura Swam Bhakta Vashyatam, that how much obliged Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how much obliged Lord Gaura is towards his devotees who have rendered devotional service to him. So in this way, whoever is connected to the Lord is a recipient of Lord's special mercy. And whenever the Lord chastises anyone who is connected with the law, with the devotee, that person is a recipient of great mercy of the Lord. So in this way, Krishna may sometimes he may chastise his surrendered devotees. So Krishna may sometimes also chastise his surrendered devotees or put them in difficult situation for the purpose of glorifying their devotional service and bringing them back home, back to Godhead. Right? This is the highest form of Lord Krishna's punishment mercy when he chastises his surrendered servants. The example of Maharaj Parikshit, Chitraketu Maharaj, Bali Maharaj, all of whom were actually given punishment by the Lord, but they accepted it all very gratefully as the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the episode of Bali Maharaj, we will conclude with these words of Prabhupada. He says, punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotees as the greatest mercy. Tatte nukampam susumikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam hidvagvapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaibha. Thank you very much. Grantra Shrimad Bhagatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry, we went 5 minutes over time. Hare Krishna.